Sherlock Kim's football fast.
All righty.
Thank you very much. And we begin in Zurich, Switzerland, where the second edition of the FIFA Women's Football and Leadership Conference concluded on Monday at the FIFA headquarters. FIFA's president Gianni Infantino, in his closing remarks, urged the football community to embrace further quotas to increase the number of women in decision-making roles in order to help secure the future of the game. FIFA's new reforms include obligations to promote and support women's football and women in football, and a requirement of at least one female representative per confederation to be elected to the new FIFA Council.
These meetings, these conferences like today are extremely, extremely important because it gives us the input that we need. And believe me, it is not just another conference. It is not just another meeting. It is not just another panel discussion. What has been discussed here, what has been said here, will be worked out, will be elaborated into some concrete proposals that will help us to move forward. I said it in my campaign. I can repeat it now. Women football and women in football is a priority, has to be a priority for football. It is not part of the problem. That's right. It's part of the solution for the future of football. And we've always to remember. But we need to have targets, we need to have objectives, and we need to work on that. We need to work on having more women in the council. We have already an increase of 600%. That's fantastic. But it's not this. Of course it's not this. We have to look into all the bodies. It's a minimum of six. It must be more. In all the other committees, we have to look into increasing women representation. Is 30% the right target? If you say it, probably yes. Well, let's look into that. Let's analyze it. Let's put ambitious targets and let's see where we get to and let's see what we can achieve. But we have to achieve something which is clear and which is significant and which makes a real difference. We have to develop the commercial side as well of women's football. The Women's World Cup is a great competition. It is a great competition which has a great potential, and we have to work on that as well. And if this means that at the beginning we have to invest some resources, then we will have to do that. We have to look at the clubs in terms of club licensing, in terms of club competitions. In UEFA, we started the Champions League when I was General Secretary. And it started slowly, and it's getting better and better and better. And we have to look into all of these things to see how we can improve the game. And we have to do it seriously. We have to allocate the right and the necessary resources to do that. But more than that, we have to allocate and put into it the necessary passion and commitment that is needed. You will have the passion and the commitment from my side. This, you can be sure. As I said, however, already in the introduction, alone I cannot do anything. I will need your help and your support to do the right thing. And I count on you for that, and I thank you for coming here today.
That was FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking yesterday at the second FIFA Women's Football and Leadership Conference. The conference, titled Equality Through Reform, focused on three areas: women's football development, women in leadership, and reform. The FIFA Women's Football and Leadership Conference is an annual event that coincides with International Women's Day and seeks to provide a platform for open and honest debate about how to improve the organization's support for women in football. Now, for more sports news, let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, and join Daybreak's Mark Ouma. And Mark begins with cycling.
Rwanda will host the biannual 2018 African Continental Road Cycling Championship. The Rwanda Cycling Federation president, Aimable Bayingana, told the Kigali media on Monday. Bayingana says the Confederation of African Cycling confirmed Rwanda would stage the event during this year's championship, recently concluded in Casablanca, Morocco. Turning to athletics, Kenyan Cyprian Kotut clocked 1 hour and 1 minute to win the Paris Half Marathon in the French capital on Sunday. Fellow Kenyan Amos Kipruto was runner-up ahead of Ethiopian Asmerau Mengistu. Meanwhile, Ethiopian Dibaba Kuma prevailed in the women's race in 1 hour 9 minutes and 18 seconds, with Kenyan Pauline Wanjiku placed runner-up. In football, Egypt buried Libya under an avalanche of 8 goals without reply in their 2016 Women's Africa Cup of Nations qualifier played in Sousse, Tunisia on Sunday. Kenya got a bye to the next round following the withdrawal from the competition by their opponents at the Democratic Republic of Congo. In rugby, South Africa lies second in the overall standings after the sixth leg in the 9-leg IRB Sevens series that ended in Las Vegas, Nevada States in the United States of America on Sunday. South Africa has 86 points and are behind Fiji, who have 91, but ahead of the series defending champions New Zealand, who have 82 points. Kenya is 8th with 52 points, while Zimbabwe is 17th with 1 point. The next leg in the contest will be in Vancouver, Canada next weekend. Finally, in tennis, the 2-week ITF Confederation of Africa Junior Tennis Championship gets underway in the South African capital, Tshwane, today, Tuesday. The contest features players in the under 16 and under 14 age groups.
That was Marco Uma reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. In more African football news, the 2016 CAF Champions League, the 52nd edition of Africa's Premier Club Football Tournament, is underway. For updates on these championships, let's go back to Johannesburg and join our football guru, David Legg, for an update. Exciting league so far, David.
That's right, Douglas. We had one outstanding preliminary round fixture. What happened is there was a strike at Niamey Airport, and that prevented Niger hosting a couple of club matches. And it was a very close call for Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. They were the champions way back in 1992, and they're a strong side, and they were certainly big favourites to get past AS Douanes of Niger. Now, Wydad won the first leg 2-0, but in the return match, they were trailing 2-0, and the match was heading for a penalty shootout when, in stoppage time at the end of the game, the Moroccans pulled 1 goal back. So a hard look there for Douanes, winning the match 2-1, but being eliminated 3-2 on aggregate. So we can now look, Douglas, at an updated Champions League last 32 draw, and significantly now, the big guns enter the competition. You've got V-Club of DR Congo against Ferroviario of Mozambique, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa against AC Leopard of Congo Brazzaville, Wari Wolves of Nigeria against Almarek of Sudan, Etoile of Congo against Anton Satif of Algeria, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, they play Knats of Madagascar, St. George of Ethiopia play TP Mazembe of DR Congo, who are the defending champions, and Yimba of Nigeria play Vitalo of Burundi. Koribga of Morocco play Etoile Sahel of Tunisia. Stade Malien of Mali play Cotton Spore of Cameroon. Zesco of Zambia are up against Horoya of Guinea. APR of Rwanda against Young Africans of Tanzania, a spicy East African derby, that one. Lebolo of Angola against Al Ahly of Egypt. Kaiser Chiefs of South Africa face ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast. Al Ahly Tripoli of Libya play Al Hilal of Sudan. Union Douala of Cameroon are up against Zamalek of Egypt. And Club Africain of Tunisia play Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria. Now, normally, Douglas, is a 2-week break between the first and second legs, but on this occasion, there's just a 1-week break. What happens is that the first legs will be played this coming weekend, March 11, 12, and 13, and the return matches will be played the following weekend, March 18, 19, and 20. And just some statistics around that last 32 draw, there are 11 former champions in the field. Mazembe are bidding to, for the third time, which would be a record for the CAF Champions League, successfully defend the title. They won it in 67 and 68 when it was known as the African Cup of Champion Clubs. They won it again in 2009 and 2010. And now, having won it in 2015, they're seeking yet another double by winning it again in 2016. At the moment, Mazembe shared the title for doubles, so to speak, with Al Ahly, the great Egyptian club. They won it in 2005 and 2006. And again in 2012 and 2013. The most appearances, though, is not by Al Ahly. What we had done this recently on the Sunny Side of Sport was a quiz, and we posed the question, which club has entered the CAF Champions League on the most occasions, and most people plumbed for Al Ahly, who have entered it 27 times. But the record, in fact, is held with 29 appearances by Al Hilal of Sudan. And in third place are ASEC Mimosas of the Ivory Coast. They've made 25 appearances. There's only one club making their debut this year who are in the last 32 round of the competition, and that's Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria. Not to be confused with a team that competed in the competition a few years ago, also from Bejaia. They were JSM Bejaia, a different club.
That was our African football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg. Thanks much, David.
You asked for it and we answered. The sunny side of sports is expanding our showtime on VOA Africa.
In many countries, preparations for the Rio 2016 Olympics are in full gear. But how is the host country coping as they gear up for to host this major sports event? Luis Piazzi reports from Rio.
Sport Olympic greetings, Douglas. The last 4.5 legs to go for the Olympics in Rio are already hacked enough indeed. August is just around the corner, and a lot of promised and needed implementations is still either halfway built or even just on paper. From light vehicles train to subway stations, water station and marina, to name just a few, that is still incomplete and to blame on delays a recycling loop. Contractors delay constructions, their contracts are concealed by the mayor, and until the actual project is reassigned to a brand new contractor, the delay comes back in the news. One same issue always in the picture is the budget for those projects and the decision-making involving high-profile bodies, the so-called organizing committee and the external governance, the late one being the Games Council, formed by the mayor of Rio, governor of Rio, being the head, the very president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, facing a risk of impeachment because of a public money used in her campaign while she was running for the presidency. As the worldwide breaking news last Friday was the former Brazilian President Lula taken in custody for questioning by police and his house raided as part of a major fraud inquiry into the state oil company Petrobras and other allegedly illicit acts, the contenders and commentators are asking how much it would add to all troubles the Olympic Games face to actually kick off. Until then, remain surfing around as the major issues, the pollution of the Guanabara Bay for sailing races. It will still filthy by August. All the experts agree publicly with that. Zika is not a lesser threat, to the contrary. And the mobility around the city of Rio, chaotic and dangerous, being the security one of the major concerns. So much that after the Australian committee publicly prohibited their athletes to walk anywhere near favelas, it became a volley of a verbal friction between officials from Brazil and Australia. On the sports side of Olympics, a good news came up in the last 2 days when the IOC declared that a team made up exclusively of refugees is set to compete under the Olympic flag in Rio. Among 40 athletes, female and male, pre-selected, the International Olympic Committee says as many as 10 would get the go-ahead to take part at the Games as the team of refugee Olympic athletes, said the IOC president Thomas Bach. In contention are swimmers, runners, cyclists, judokas, like the Congoleses Popole Mizenga and Yolande Mabika, exiled in Brazil 3 years so far, currently living in a favela in Rio. I am Luis Piazzi for the sunny side of sports.
Thank you, Luis. Finally, Mo Farah has been confirmed in Great Britain's team to compete at the 2016 IAAF World Half Marathon Championships in Cardiff. The 32-year-old double Olympic and 5-time world track champion is European half marathon record holder and won the 2014 Great North Run. Kenya's Geoffrey Chepsang will defend his world title in Cardiff. Farah's world half marathon debut will fall.